I got rants in my pants.
It's time for a bonus pod, bitches.
Shut up.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast.
Yes.
Where we talk about fitness, food, motivation.
And rants.
And general angry rants from the fat man himself.
Yeah, my favorite.
Stretch Roberts.
Me.
So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon.
Bacon.
Here is your host, Stretch.
All right, I got rants in my pants today. Getting ready to do the show. Before we start, some updates on some situation, y'alls. I had a late night because I went after work to my parents' house because it was my mama's birthday. And I brought dinner to my mom and a cake and presents and hung out with my mom. And that was very nice. And it was a very great night. So thank God I have my mom and dad still. I saw my mom and dad, my mother-in-law, father-in-law. We are intact and blessed. So that is all very, very good. And now I'm home. I got home late. And then I ended up sitting down and watching volleyball with my daughter and my wife. We are very much a volleyball family because my daughter played for so long. And it's crazy as we watch the national championships unfold, all the girls that she's played with that we're watching play in there, and some of her old teammates that made it all the way into the Final Four. Ooh, crazy, 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 but some heartbreakers. And the championship game will be Sunday night, and it looks like it is going to be Louisville versus Penn State, which is something nobody saw coming. Seemed like it would be Nebraska or Texas, and here we are at Louisville and Penn State. So very cool. Very, very cool. It was exciting. Games were exciting. We loved the volleyball, the girls' volleyball. So we had that. Today I had a doctor's appointment. I met my new doctor. I can't say his name. He's got a big, long Russian name. And I'm like three times they told me his name. And I was like, yep, never going to remember. Never going to remember this. I'm going to call him Dr. Russian. That's his name. My Dr. Russian, and that was all right. We did blood work. I'll get the results back. And by the next podcast, I will be able to tell you if the current path we're on is working, even though I got a little rant on something. He came in and looked at all my test results. And when your new doctor, who you've never met, comes in and you're talking to him and he's asking you about yourself and he's looking through all your stuff, and he said, "Are you having chest pains? Are you having trouble breathing?" I'm like, "No, I'm effing fine. Why?" That shows you how bad that test was that I took earlier this month that they're freaking out about. So we'll see if we're on the right path now. I'm not losing weight still. I'm fat. I'm fatter than fat. Fat guy on a diet. Don't try it. Jack your ass like a looter in a riot. That's me. I'm the fat boys. Fat boys are back. But I'm not back. I'm just fat. Also had a holiday luncheon at work today, and that was nice. Had to force people to be my friends. It's very sad. It's very sad when you have to go to people and say, "Hey, you're my friend. You're who I'm sitting with at the holiday lunch today." Because normally, everybody takes lunches at different times, and I might be in the break room with one person, maybe two at the most. And you don't even talk. Most people are looking at their phone and scrolling, so I was like, no, I'm sitting with you people. You are my friends and you like it, period. And I force people to be my friends. Because I work up at the very front of the building. So there's nowhere. I see everybody. Everybody coming in or out sees me every day. And I talk to a lot of people on the phone multiple times a day because of business or have a question or this or that. Or they got to tell me something or I got to tell them something. But I don't really work around any people. I'm a solo department head is what I am. It's just me. My department is me, myself, and I. So when we have these function things, everybody else kind of has their little clicks. I'm like, I don't have a click. I'm stuck. I'm old man out. No. Anyhow, let's get to my stories. As I feel my rant coming. I feel a rant coming. A rant. By the way, my Christmas shopping, I realized I'm done. I have to buy a present for my wife, who is the hardest person on my list and hates everything I get her, so I'm not really sweating it. but I got to get something for her between now and Christmas. And that's it. And I'm done. Got all of my family done. I got my dogs done. I got to buy something for my blind pug, which will probably be something edible because he's blind and old as F and doesn't chase things or squeak things or anything like that because he's a 14-year-old blind pug. So, we'll see how that goes. Alrighty, let's get into our stories. This may be the dumbest thing ever. It has to be a gimmick. I can't figure out why they are even making it. Who would buy it? Would you buy it for anything other than a joke? These questions, I don't know. But there is a company called MyProtein. Everyone knows protein is vital if you are building muscle. And also, knock, knock, if you're on the Ozempic or you're on a semaglutide, protein is vital to you. You should be taking protein supplements and doing anything you can to spike protein because your body is cannibalizing the F out of your muscle as you eat way less than you normally do, which is not enough to sustain your body weight. And your body will store fat because your body is, it's a survivalist, your body. And your body will be like, well, we might need this fat later. What if we don't get any food soon? We're already at a reduced rate. Let's save the fat and burn the muscle. We don't need the muscle right now because we're not trying to build muscle. So your body will burn the muscle. Hence the protein effing vital. You need protein. Protein, protein, protein. And if you're trying to gain muscle, you're living on protein. If you chew a stick of gum, it better have protein in it. All right. Here is what this company is doing. MyProtein, a sports nutrition brand, has teamed up with Southern Comfort. Southern Comfort is a whiskey. And they have launched a pair of protein powders that taste like whiskey cocktails. Only there's no whiskey in them. Yeah, here you go. Whiskey sour and old-fashioned Southern Comfort protein powders. They have 300 milligrams of caffeine in them also. 3.2 grams of beta-alanine and 6 grams of L-citrulline malate. And they're only $44.99 a package. It's weird that they do that. Now, they went back to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who said he used to love to put booze in his protein. But Arnold was a freak of nature bodybuilder who ate steroids and protein and protein and protein and protein and steroids, and that was his whole diet. So I could see Arnold wanting to get drunk and being like, I would put protein into my, put whiskey into my protein. And think about it. If you're a complete freak musclehead and you want to go out drinking and every calorie counts because you're a macro counting fool, throw some protein in there. I do get that, but it doesn't seem right. Arnold says he would add tequila or schnapps to his protein shakes. And they say that he would also put almond milk in there, cherry juice, banana protein powder, and a raw unpeeled egg. Yeah, raw eggs, not the smartest thing to be eating either. Rocky kind of set that trend off. But there you go. So if you are really, really down with getting your drink on. And here's the thing. If you drink, you have to have, like, alcohol. Like, if you're not drinking and you, like, crave it that much that you want to get a protein powder that reminds you of whiskey, you might have a drinking problem. I'm just saying. I knew recovering alcoholics who were sober. And were sober. They literally sober. Most, if you know any addicts or alcoholics, 9 out of 10 times they will look at your face because they're professional liars and say, I'm sober. I'm totally sober. I am totally clean. I am not doing drugs. I am not drinking. And they are lying to you right to your face. That is usually the case. Or they'll claim they're sober because they're not taking drugs, they're just drinking right now. Or, well, I'm only drinking beer. They have all these excuses because they're addict liars. And that's liars are addicts. They are liars, all of them. That's what they do. They lie. They lie to themselves. They lie to everyone around them. They lie and they manipulate to get what they want, which is to get drunk or high. But I knew many that would take the Bailey's flavored coffee creamer, and that literally was like crack to them. It would calm them down. They'd be getting the shakes, because a lot of alcoholics have shakes when they're not drinking, and they could drink the Bailey's, and I don't know if it fooled their brain into thinking they were having a Bailey's Irish cream with some whiskey in it, but they did that. They worked. That worked for them. And if you got to do something like that, you know, have at it. But I don't see it. And by the way, I drink alcohol in my life. I don't drink at all and haven't drank for many years. But anytime I ever drank, it was never for, God, this tastes delicious. You know what I really love is the taste of whiskey. No, no, no. Now, granted, I got to where I liked beer and all different kinds of alcohol. I didn't like look at it with disgust, but if I really wanted something flavorful, like a milkshake would be delicious, is what I would have, not a whiskey drink. It's never been the flavor that I really, really crave, alcohol. All right. So just if you know, if you know a drunk in your life or someone who really loves whiskey, try the My Protein Southern Comfort. It is $44.99 a package. Here we go with going with the flow. So there is a story that you can enhance your athletic performance by doing a simple trick. I don't want to say, I hate that. All these articles say the hack. The new fitness hack people are doing and increasing their athletic performance. And da-da-da, and researchers found out this wonderful life hack. All right, so here's what it is. They found out that your spleen, a very small organ near your stomach, which you can live without, by the way. Many people get their spleen ruptured. They internally start to bleed and they have to remove it. And you can live a fine, long, healthy life without a spleen. But they say when the spleen contracts naturally in your body, it releases stored red blood cells into the bloodstream, which improve oxygen delivery to the muscles. So there's this fitness way, but how do you get your spleen to contract? Well, here's what they did. They studied the spleen in mind when they had 17 athletes hold their breath and dunk their faces in cold water before running on a treadmill. Submerging your head in cold water and holding your breath triggers the mammalian diving reflex, a survival mechanism that automatically slows your heart rate, contracts your spleen, and prioritizes blood delivery to your brain and your heart over less essential muscles. So these psychological changes allow divers to stay underwater longer, hence they call it the diving reflex moniker. There you go. Study participants had been trained in breath holding, did the maneuver 5 times, and then they had them... The average breath hold was 71 seconds. There was a 2-minute break between each set. That's a pretty good long time. Volunteers started the treadmill test 2 minutes after the final breath. The participants lasted 0.75% longer on average than the people that didn't do the dunking. So there's a few ways to activate the diving reflex, and here they are. Submerge your face in a bowl of water colder than 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Hold your breath for 30 seconds and repeat as necessary, lifting your head out of the water between each set. Or, the more normal, less douchebaggian way, place ice cubes in a Ziploc bag or grab a bag of frozen vegetables, press it against your face, making sure it covers your eyes and the space above your cheekbones. Hold your breath for 6 to 8 seconds each beat. Splash cold water on your face or take a cold shower. And that will cause your spleen to contract and squeeze that blood into your body, and the diver's reflex will kick in automatically in those conditions. So there you go. All right. I hate to be... this rant's going to make me seem like the old-ass man, because it's about Gen Z, who I have not a ton of respect for. It's weird. My daughter's a Gen Zer. My son's older. He's beyond that. And what I notice is I really have a lot of respect for the Gen Z girls. They are mentally tougher than Gen Z boys that I've seen. And remember, I worked at the college and I was around a lot of this. These boys, in my opinion, have been told that it's bad to be a boy. It's negative. It's toxic. It's this, it's that. And they've been suppressed of their manliness for a very long time. And they are giant, giant vaginas. Massive, huge vaginas. The girls of Gen Z are tougher than the boys of Gen Z. Because in the meantime, at the same time, they've been telling girls, you don't need a man. You can do anything. You're great. You're tough. You're this. You're that. And they've been building the girls up and tearing the boys down. But one thing, they're all mentally weak. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what has caused them to be so fragile. And here's what this article is about. This article is about Gen Z in general. They're all at the age now where they've, you know, getting out of college. If you're 20-something, you're a Gen Zer. And you've probably just got out of college. You got your first dream job. You got away from your parents. You got your own place. And they say 38% of 20-somethings are going through a midlife crisis. That is incredibly young to be going through a midlife. Midlife crisis usually hits people 40-plus is when you hit a midlife crisis, not at 20-something. And they say the concept of midlife crisis has been changed by this group, period. They say today's young adults have a pressure of financial instability, mental health, and career uncertainty, and they've created an environment that feels inescapable, and they are freaking the F out. The immense weight of the stressors is wreaking havoc on their personal and professional lives. Okay, I don't see that any different for them than for, I'm not a boomer, I'm a Gen Xer, but boomers are like, my parents are boomers. I don't see that any different for any age group. Like, everyone's going through really bad times. The economy in the United States is absolute dog crap, and it has been, and in most of the world it is as well. But what do? You freaking power through, man. The way I was taught as a kid, yeah, you're a dude, suck it up, tighten your chin strap, and run your head into that wall a little harder until you smash through it. Oh, there's a wall in front of you? Yeah, run into it a bunch of times until it falls down. And you just keep doing it until it falls down. That's how we were raised. And if you don't, you're a puss. And knock it off. Suck it up. Even my mom would be like, suck it up. There was no babying going on. This generation, here's where it gets me. This is when I got fired up. Researchers for the company found that young workers are 224% more likely to be depressed than their older colleagues. And they say it's easy to blame their inability to cope with life on their presumed laziness, a stereotype which they fiercely reject. But is their stereotypes, I don't care what the stereotype is, it's around for a reason. There's good stereotypes, bad stereotypes. They usually exist for a reason. For many, the biggest factor contributing to this crisis is money. They say money is freaking them out. Everything has gotten so expensive. 30% of Gen Z report that financial issues are their primary source of stress. And then 28% of millennials, that's my son's age, and then folks ranging in age 28 to 43 agree. But I agree. I'm an over 50-year-old effing man. And I agree. The biggest stressor in my life is money. If I had money, I would have a lot less stress in my life. But these guys, this is where you see what is wrong with them. How do they expect to get ahead when they can't push through? So the rising cost of living, unpredictable economy, stagnant wages, and they're, you know, freaking out. And they say that their mental health challenges, 25%, career struggles, 23%, contribute substantially to their sense of crisis. And it gives a number here of these kids, 20-something-year-old kids, that are taking on average 1 day per week off of work for mental health reasons. I never knew what a mental health day was in my life until a few years ago. And damn sure didn't know about it as a young person. As a young person, it was like, shut up. You don't even know what life's about. Like, wait till you get out on your own and gotta pay bills and feed family and pay for this and pay for that and make things happen. That's real stress. Your parents had no empathy for you as a young person claiming about stress, especially about money, when they're like, you're just you. You just got to take care of you. It's not that hard. Suck it up and do it, buttercup. That's how we were treated. And these kids have never really, I guess, been allowed to fall on their face. Like, I know I fell on my face a million times, but I know it would have been 2 million times if my parents hadn't saved my ass many times as a young person. And it's cool that you have family, and not everyone does. But if your family will help you out or lend a hand or get you out of a hole or get you through a tough week and back on, cool. But these kids, here's what they're doing. This is how they say they're dealing with it, which is making their situation incredibly worse. They said F it, and dealing with how they deal with their financial woes is they just go spending and shopping like crazy and put themselves into massive debt and compound their stressful life. Stressful, I say in air quotes. Like, I know I sound like an old-ass man, and I am old enough to be your father if you are a Gen Zer. And it is crazy, though, that they say they ultimately are worsening their financial stress with this vicious cycle of mindless splurging. The midlife crisis that so many young people are experiencing is about more than just money. It's about the sense of control. Yeah. And they have social media, which helps amplify their anxiety. Stay off social media, then. You can handle social media. You think it creates stress in your life? Shut it the F off. Delete it from your effing phone. Go old school, bitch. Suck it the F up. That's what I say to young people. And I know I look at the young people at my work. They take a lot of breaks. They miss a lot of work. And they don't have the work ethic that old people have. And I think us old people, we knew there was a time when it was hard to get a job. Like right now, you're lucky to have a job. And they don't seem to appreciate the job they have. They feel like they don't make enough money, so it's not really that important for them to be there. That is a problem they have with young people. Keeping young people at a job, they'll just quit. They'll be like, F it, I'll get another crappy job. I don't care. I don't really need this one. And they're hard to keep around. Whereas old people are like, man, I'm so lucky I have a job. You know why? Because they have responsibilities, because they have a family, because they have kids, because they have to have health insurance. And they can't go on a splurging spree to make themselves feel better about being broke. And you have to just power through. And I think when the world gets that real, you will learn to deal with it. Because you, calling out of work sick, this week, or this year, I took all of my sick days for the first time in my life, and I did it for my surgery. I was out for my surgery. We get 5 sick days at my work a year, and I used all 5 of them out on my surgery. I never used one for being sick. I damn sure never used one for a mental health day, but it's the first time in my life I've ever used all of my sick days. I am over 50 years old, and I've been working since I was 16 years old. First time in my life. So never in my 20-somethings that I'd be like, man, I'm really tired. And I worked in the entertainment industry where you were so lucky to get ahead and opportunity, and really chances are somebody was out sick and I would get an opportunity to do something and prove myself. I relished that. That's where I grew. Like when people would be out sick, I'd be there. Hey, so-and-so's out. Can you come in? Yes. Yes. I'm there. And I was down and I outworked people. And that was how I came up. And, you know, granted, being in the entertainment industry was highly competitive. And I had to prove my worth. And I did it and 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 thrived in a very hard industry to survive in for a very long time. And I don't know if I'm, I don't think I'm wired differently. I think that's my generation. I don't think that's me I'm talking about. I think I'm talking about us as the old people. That's how we proved ourselves and worked our butts off and showed our value. And I don't think we're getting that from these young people because they're so busy about their freaking fragility and their mental health. And I agree, we worked too hard. We didn't take care of ourselves enough. We have issues because of it. And young people aren't willing to have those issues. And you can applaud that, but at the same time, you're going to applaud them into a mental breakdown because they're so effing fragile, because anything that sets them off, they have to tap out and they can't fight through. So it's bullshit. This article pissed me off. So if you've got young people in your life, kick them in the nuts and say, suck it up, buttercup, and stop being such a bitch. And just know this, truly, if they're a female, they're better off than males. Right? The young males are screwed. And we're starting to see these young boys that have been so crapped on for being boys their whole lives, being toxically masculine, how anti the world is on that right now. A lot of these boys are they're getting angry. They're getting really angry. And I don't know. I don't know if that's great for someone who's not the most mentally stable in the world, but there's a lot of anger in young people. And I think that there's always a lot of anger in the young generation, being mad about stuff. But it's weird with this fragile generation. Anger's like, whoa, what's he going to do? It's going to go like, dye his hair pink? Like, what's happening? All right, I know it's the holidays and I'm crapping on young people. I'm sorry, but you do it to yourselves. You really do. All right, I got to get out of here. Still, we're at the last minute of gifts. I guess you could still go on to Spyra.com and get your Wave Maxes or any other Spyra shoes. Use Fit10 at checkout. Get the 10% off. I don't know if you can get it for Christmas at this point. You better go fast. But those are my people. Love those guys at Spyra. And I will be back on Monday with another show before Christmas. We'll do the Christmas show on Monday. It'll be all jolly and holly. And a fat man will be here eating milk and cookies that people put out for Santa. I'm going to steal them. That's what's going to happen. And then if there's I'm going to go on the next show. I'll go back into the UFOs or the drones, whatever the F these things are. We'll get back to that again in the next show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the holiday time. I will talk to you Monday with a brand new episode of Fat to Fit or Else.